Do you love him today? Do you love him today? Presence of the Lord is here. We don't have a program. It's ordered by the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit wants to minister in praise and worship, that's okay. I don't have to preach a message. All it has to be is for your heart to be yielded to the move of God. Amen. That's all we need today is for a move of God in your heart. For you to be yielded to his presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody's getting delivered here. Somebody's getting touched. Somebody's getting their praise on. Somebody's lifting up the name of Jesus. Somebody's yielding their spirit. Somebody is not ashamed to dance, to clap, to thank Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 If you could all stand with me. If you could all stand with me. I don't want to close this service but I do want to leave you a couple verses. We pick up the offering afterwards, right? Do I hear an amen? I want to leave you with a word. If you could put on the board 2 Chronicles 5, verse 1. When I went to Indianapolis this week, and as soon as I entered into the stadium, I felt the presence of the Lord. And it was like the Lord started talking to me again, like he did in 2004. I really didn't tell my wife. The Lord started talking to me. I felt an atmosphere. I felt the Spirit. I want to read you something. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David, his father, had dedicated. And the silver and the gold and all the instruments he put among the treasures of the house of God. Jumping down to verse 13. And really, what we have done today has fulfilled this scripture. It came to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets, the high-sounding cymbals, and the instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. I'm asking God to open your eyes today because there's a cloud in here. You may not be able to see it. Some of us can feel it. The priest could not stand to minister because of reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Father, we just thank you for showing up at Rehoboth. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your presence. We believe in your deliverance. We believe in your healing power. Hallelujah. We believe in your love and your grace. Lord, we ask for this word to be effective in Jesus' name. Turn to someone and say, it's time to change the atmosphere. One more time. Let's say it like you mean it. It's time to change the atmosphere. You can keep on worshiping. That's all right. When I was sitting there and I was looking at this vast crowd, you know, and I was thinking about our home church, Rehoboth. And we really struggled to get there. We didn't have a nice, you know, 50-passenger coach. We didn't stay in the ritziest hotels. We had to struggle. We had to fight. And as pastor of this church, I know about a lot of situations. I know that there's not one of us in here today who couldn't come before this altar and cry out to God for mercy and for grace and for help and for deliverance. But one thing I do know, we, Rehoboth, are his priority. I want to say it again. We are his priority. Jesus, I want to tell you something. The Lord spoke to me. He's looking at you. This message is for you, not the person behind you, but for you. I have a word for you today from the Lord. You see, in Matthew 5, chapter 3, said, blessed are the poor in spirit. We may not have the worldly goods. We may not have the world's riches. We may not have the fanciest building, the nicest carpet, the best bathrooms. But I tell you what, if you today came poor in spirit, he is ready, willing, and able to deliver you. He wants to know your name. He wants to lift you up. He came looking for you today. See, Jesus, when he started his ministry in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, you might as well sit down now. You better turn to someone and say, I'm here to listen. Amen. I think I'm going to just give you a little taste today. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. I'm going to do a little commentary on this verse today. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus. After he had just started his ministry, he went to his hometown, Capernaum, and they gave him the scroll from the book of Isaiah. And he turned to chapter 61, and he began to read. And I'm going to do some interpretation for you today. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's those suffering from some financial need. Anyone can raise a hand with that today? Let me say it again. He said, I came to preach the gospel to the poor. That means if you are suffering from some financial need today, this is for you. He went on, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's those of you who are feeling alone, coming from some broken relationship. This is for you today. He said, to preach deliverance to the captives. That's those of you who are suffering from some addiction. You're captive to some sexual addiction, to some lust, to some drugs. I'm telling you, this is for you today. The recovering of sight to the blind. Maybe you're going through a struggle where you don't even know which way is up. You can't see your way out today. You are lost in your situation. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Some of you here today are hurting. Someone who you love has hurt you, has torn you up. Let me say this again. He came to set at liberty them that are bruised, to let you let go of those feelings, to bring deliverance. In fact, he wants to change your atmosphere. That's the title of my message today. We got to change the atmosphere. I realized the reason why God could speak to me so freely. When I went into that stadium, there were 34,000 people worshiping. There couldn't have been a demon in 100 miles. They had to just get out of that stadium. When the Spirit of God started to move, there was deliverance. There was a movement. And God just started to speak to me. I had a freedom to communicate. And I realized, although I've taught this before, we really have to change our atmosphere. You see, we are struggling sometimes with prayers, and we're going through and we're wondering why things don't change. It's because we have not yet changed the atmosphere, our surroundings, the things we're dealing with. It's time to change the atmosphere. Let me explain to you something. Because of who we are, because of where we are, we're on the corner of 21st and Highland, on the north side of Milwaukee. It's because of our needs today that Jesus is focused upon you. I want to show you something. I want to prove to you he's focused on you today. Just look at who he came to. He came to Peter, who was a foul-mouthed fisherman. He wasn't no rich and mighty. He wasn't a priest. He was just a foul-mouthed fisherman. Jesus said, follow me. He came to Matthew, who was sitting collecting taxes. He was hated. He was the tax collector. He said, follow me. Most of all, he came to Mary Magdalene, a demon-possessed prostitute, and he healed her. He delivered her. He said, follow me. You see, Romans chapter 8, verse 30 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. But you're saying, Pastor, I don't feel glorified. I don't feel delivered. What's going on? Why is that applying to someone else? Why don't I feel? I'll tell you why. It's because you haven't changed your atmosphere. Let me give you a little side note here. I happen to work for a company that's all about changing the atmosphere. I won't tell you their name, but you would know them if I did. In my day job, that's what my company does. They change the atmosphere. That means they make air conditioners. They make furnaces. They make humidifiers. They're all about changing the atmosphere. They make huge commercial rooftops units. Every time you've been in a Target and you go in there, you're not thinking about it. You go into the cold section, you see it gets real cold. It's because they're changing the atmosphere. They're changing. You see, we have to make our environment conducive to the Spirit of God. We have to make our environment conducive so God can move in our lives. See, they have to do this to enable people at work. They have the market share for all the buildings. You go in there and you don't notice it. You look at the thermostat, it's got a name on there. And it's their name because they have decided that to make people work better, you need to change the atmosphere. See, it could be 72 degrees inside and 89 degrees outside and humid. But if you've changed the atmosphere, you can work. But if it's 89 degrees and it's hot and it's humid, you can't be efficient. You can't have the Lord speak to you. Now, they know how to do it for the body. But I'm telling you, I have a secret. I know how to do it for the soul. Amen. Amen. See, many years ago, in the 70s, when they started building these energy-efficient buildings, they started to insulate them so tightly that nothing could come in and out. But you know what started to happen? People started getting sick. Because the less leaky the building was, the atmosphere started to become foul. And they found that people were getting sick 8 hours a day in these buildings with the wrong atmosphere made them sick. And building owners were started getting sued. And lawsuits were being filed because people were coming down with all kinds of conditions. They were getting sick because of the atmosphere. And so after much investigation and scientific follow-up, they found out it was because the building's materials was giving out fumes and gases and all kinds of noxious things. And they came up with a name for them. They call them VOCs, and that stands for volatile organic components. That means the carpeting was giving off gases, the new carpeting, the paint in the building, and it was making people sick. And after a while, they changed the building codes. And the building codes today say you have to change the atmosphere. Now, if men have found out that in order to work properly, in order to be healthy for the body, you got to have a circulating atmosphere. Do you understand that for us spiritually, we need to change our atmosphere? Or else we're going to get spiritually weak. We pray and nothing happens because the atmosphere is full of demonic entities. See, they have a word for it. They call them VOCs, volatile organic compounds. I made up a word last night. I call them volatile demonic entities. And when you pray, you're fighting some spiritual warfare. When I went into that stadium, every time I sat down, the Lord just started speaking to me. I started to write down stuff. I had my phone out and I must have gotten 5 messages just sitting in every service. You know, I realized the atmosphere was different. I'm going to prove it to you. You're all looking at me strange. You see, it's the atmosphere where Satan likes to operate. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, I'm going to give you 8 words. Prince of the power of the air. Ephesians says, wherein in time past, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world. You were walking through some bad atmosphere. According to the prince of the power of the air. In other words, the atmosphere. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The Lord was telling me, you know what? When you change your atmosphere, you will be able to get your prayers through, because we are warring against principalities and powers in high places. They're in the atmosphere. You need to change your environment. See, the devil is very clever. You can't see the air with your eyes. You can't see the bad atmosphere. They say one of the most dangerous gases is CO2 because it's of course, odorless, colorless. You can't see it, but people die just like that. They go into some bad atmosphere, and they drop dead. You need to, let me tell you some things that you're going to need to change your atmosphere. Maybe you have to change your bad atmosphere of people. You pray, but you go back into the same circle of bad atmospheric people. Maybe you have to change your atmosphere of the places you go. It's no use coming to church on Sunday then going to the devil's place the next day. You need to change the atmosphere. Bad spiritual atmosphere causes your faith to fail. So that when you pray, you don't get anywhere. Let me prove that to you. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Jesus said to Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. And the scripture came to me and said, sift you as wheat. What? How does that have to do with the atmosphere? But then I thought about it. It was the wind. It was the atmosphere that blows you away, Peter. It's your bad atmosphere that will take away your faith. I'm going to show you it again. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. Jesus went into Capernaum, his hometown, and the Bible said he could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. There was a bad, faithless atmosphere. That's why today this praise and worship was so awesome, because it started to change the atmosphere. As we started to sing and as we started to get down here and worship, people started to open up. People started to come to the altar because the atmosphere began to change. There was a freedom in here to sing. There was a freedom to release doubt. There was a freedom to lift up the name of Jesus. What God told me is we have to change the atmosphere. When you change the atmosphere, miracles are going to happen. When you change the atmosphere, deliverance is going to happen. When you change the atmosphere, your prayer is going to get heard. Well, Pastor, how do you change the atmosphere? I'm going to give you the abbreviated sermon today. Let's go back to that first scripture, 2 Chronicles 5:30. And you see, when we did it, the atmosphere in here changed. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, that when they lifted up their voice, even when you don't feel like it, even when you feel like sitting down, I'm telling you how you change your atmosphere. You get up and you start worshiping. You start thanking God. You start praising Him. You start shouting. The Battle of Jericho, the atmosphere was changed when they shouted. When they shouted, the walls came down. They changed the atmosphere. Verse 13 says, music and praise God, saying, for He is good and for His mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. I want my house to be filled with a cloud. I want my atmosphere to be changed so that when I pray, I get instant revelation. When I pray, miracles happen. When I pray, love happens. When I pray, sickness disappears. When I pray, God answers. See, I'm telling you why you struggle. Listen to me. It's because you have a bad atmosphere. It's not that you're not praying. It's not that you don't come to church. But you need to fix some things in the atmosphere. Because we are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. They're up in your atmosphere. You got to change your atmosphere. You got to change your atmosphere. See, Rehoboth, if you want healing, if you want deliverance, if you want revelation, change your atmosphere. I'm going to show you. I'm going to prove it to you from Scripture. You want revelation? Go to Revelation. Let's see how John got revelation. I'll show you that there was a change in his atmosphere. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9 says, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. See, you can still change your atmosphere even though you're going through some tribulation. And in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord. You know what happened? He got into a different atmosphere. See, that word spirit comes from the Greek word pneuma, which means air. He was in the new atmosphere of the spirit, and that's when he got revelation. And I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. You want deliverance from your storms? I'm going to show you have to change your atmosphere. Luke chapter 8, verse 23. There came a storm on the Sea of Galilee when Jesus and his disciples were in the boat. Now, I'm going to tell you, this storm was supernatural. It was no ordinary storm. If you look, it says, and there came down a storm. Sometimes it seems you're going along in life and then comes down a storm right on top of you. You say, where did this come from? The storm came down so powerfully that the boat that they were in started to fill with water. You see, the devil is so clever. We start looking at the symptoms rather than the cause. They started getting worried about the water, not realizing it was the atmosphere that was causing the problem. So they woke Jesus up and they said, can't you see, Master, we're about to drown? They weren't imagining it. The scripture says they were in jeopardy. This was real. This wasn't imagined. Your storm is real, but you have to understand where it's coming from. It's because of the atmosphere. Stop looking at the water. That was their immediate situation. Now, I want to show you what Jesus did. He could have just said, water, get out the boat. But the atmosphere would have been the same. In about a few minutes, guess what? There would have been water back in their boat. He dealt with the atmosphere. The Bible says, and he came and awoke him saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose. And the first thing he dealt with was the atmosphere. The Bible says he rebuked. I looked that word up. That Greek word means he was antagonistic. He was in anger against the atmosphere because he knew where it came from. This wind was supernatural. It was there to destroy them, to sink their boat, and he rebuked the wind. Now, if he had first rebuked the water would have gotten out the boat. See, that's what we'd have done. Master, can't you see we're sinking? Get the water out the boat. But Jesus dealt with the atmosphere first. The Bible says he rebuked the wind and then the water. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is telling you today, Rehoboth, you need to change your atmosphere. You can't keep going into your buildings and just staying there all day and locked up. You need to tell Satan he's got to get out of here. You got to get some fresh air of the Spirit coming through. You got to get some deliverance blowing your way. See what happens when he rebuked the atmosphere? Calm. Calm. You may have a supernatural storm going on. Don't look at the water because that's the symptom. Start with the atmosphere, the wind. That's what you got to do, saints. You got to start with the atmosphere. There was no ordinary storm this. See, Jesus made it clear before you can take over Satan, you got to bind the strong man. You got to stop him polluting your atmosphere. Ezekiel 37, 1. Ezekiel was taken to this valley of dry bones. I'm going to show you how many references in scripture to wind and atmosphere. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. You may have a dead situation that seems hopeless. You may be looking at some impossibilities. You don't know what to do. Change your atmosphere. Change your atmosphere. Ezekiel looks at this valley of dead bones. He says, I don't know what to do. What do you want me to do, Lord? He says, breathe, speak. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit and set me down in the midst of the valley, which is full of bones, and caused me to pass by round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. Maybe you got more than one dead body. Maybe you got more than one dead situation. Maybe you can't turn to your left or your right or backwards. All your situation looks hopeless. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Sometimes God is testing you. He wants to see whether you understand how to fix the problem because he has given us power. He has given us power. Son of man, do you understand what's happening here? Can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. You see, we believe God. We know God can change the situation. We just don't know how to get going. We don't know which way to turn. Jumping down to verse 9, he told him how to do it. Prophesy where? To the wind. In other words, change your atmosphere. When you change your atmosphere, when you pray, suddenly miracles will happen. Things will change because there's no interfering VDEs. There's no volatile demonic entities blocking your prayer. Do you know that they can block some of your prayers? In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel had been praying for 21 days. His atmosphere was blocked. After 21 days, the angel finally showed him and said, Daniel, from the first day you started praying, I was dispatched. But there was another being blocking me from coming to you. My atmosphere was blocked until I got some help. Do you understand? I'm giving you a revelation, a principle today. You need to change your atmosphere. Don't look on the storm of the water. Look at the wind that's causing it. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not the person cussing you out. It's not the person hurting you. It's the atmosphere behind that person. You need to change your atmosphere. Prophesy unto the wind. Ezekiel, prophesy. And say to the wind, thus saith, we got to declare some atmospheric changes. Thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And guess what? Once the atmosphere was changed, miracles start to happen. A whole dead army got up and flesh started to come, sinew started to come. I challenge you today, Rehoboth, change your atmosphere. Instead of looking at your immediate situation, start praising God. Start changing the atmosphere around you. Get the oil, change the oil of mourning and the spirit of joy. Start to lift up the name of Jesus even when you don't feel like it. Change your atmosphere. Ezekiel obeyed what God said. He didn't know how it was going to happen. I mean, this is impossible. There's thousands of dead bones here. Speak to the atmosphere. That's who we really are fighting. You understand that? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Not against your current situation. Not about the water in the boat. Because as I said before, you could take the water out of the boat. If the storm's still going, guess what? You're still going to get more water in your boat. That's why when we get delivered, next week the same thing comes back. You know why? We got the water out the boat, but we did not change the atmosphere. And so we're still struggling against the same thing over and over again. Because we have not spoken to the wind. We have not taken authority over the demonic entities that we're really wrestling against. Nicodemus, I tell you how you're born again. Of the water and of the spirit. Nicodemus, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you're going to have to change your atmosphere. Because the wind blows where it wants to. You can't see it. But you hear the sound. So it is with everyone that's going to come to me. Their atmosphere has got to be changed. The wind's got to blow in a new breath. The Spirit's got to come in and bring deliverance. My grace has got to come in and change their thinking. It's only when the atmosphere is changed will you get deliverance. You can stand with me. I'm done. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. I tell you, 2,000 odd years ago, there was the greatest atmospheric change ever. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they're in one accord in one place. Are you ready for it? This is what happened. There was an atmospheric change. And suddenly, there came a sound. And I've taught this before. I used to wonder, how could these people, how did they have such a great revival? How come 3,000 souls came to Christ that day with a preaching of just Acts? But read Acts chapter 2. That's all. It wasn't no great sermon. It was repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift. That was it. 3,000 souls. How could that happen? The same 3,000, no doubt, 50 days before were screaming at the top of their voices. Crucify him. You know what? Something in the atmosphere had to change. Something freed them from the bondage of all those satanic entities that were binding their spirit. Something had to be loosed out of their life to enable them to make a choice, to be able for their hearts to be convicted. It was an atmospheric explosion. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. See, when God's going to move in your life, he's first going to change the atmosphere. I said this before, but it never hit me till I went into the stadium and I realized all of a sudden why God was giving me so much revelation. There was a different atmosphere. Sometimes, and I'm sure Chris can tell you that sometimes we struggle on our sermon. I got 5 or 6 sermons. I could have kept on writing. I got more revelation. It felt like in 2004 when I was again at a conference where the atmosphere was free. You want revelation? You want deliverance? Check your atmosphere. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Guess what it did first? Before it filled them, what did it have to do? It filled the house. Cleared out all of the demonic entities. Now, the preaching of the gospel didn't take but a few verses. 3,000 souls free of bad atmosphere could respond. Free of demonic pressure could get delivered. Free to hear the word of God and take it in. 3,000 souls. Some of them, I'm sure, were the same ones saying, crucify him. How could that be? Change of atmosphere. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire. We want to have this atmospheric change in Rehoboth? Do we want to have this atmospheric change in this city? Is it possible that that can happen here? That when we witness to somebody, they say, take me to church. You don't have to beg them. You don't even have to ask them twice, because there has been an atmospheric change. You need to drag your own atmosphere around. That when you come into a room, all the demons say, I got to get out of here. I can't stand that person. All they do is praise God. All they're doing is meditating upon God. All they're doing is loving on people. All they're doing is talking about the goodness of God. All they're doing is telling how God is great. That's like off to mosquitoes. We need to change our atmosphere. When we take that kind of atmosphere, demons have to flee. When you witness, it will be effective. When you pray, it will be effective. You'll get revelation. Your gift will start to manifest. But you know what we've been praying for? Lord, take the water out of my boat. Lord does take the water out of the boat. Next week, the storm still fills it again, because we never spoke to the atmosphere. I want to tell you some things to change the atmosphere. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. Praise changes the atmosphere, but also prayer does. In Revelation chapter 8, verse 3, we learn something. That your prayer goes up like incense. You know what incense does? Changes the atmosphere. And the angel came and stood at the altar. If you want a big atmospheric change, you better have a big incense candle. In other words, you need some good prayer. For a room this big, if I bring in here one little candle and think it's going to change the atmosphere, I don't have much hope. But when all of us and get on one accord and start offering up an incense of prayer, I tell you, this block's got to change. I know that 20 years ago, this block was worse than it is now. My dad used to have a six-shooter revolver. And when he would come over here late at night, I guess he would bring it with him. But we haven't had a break-in for years. You know what? I'm thinking it's because of the praise. I'm thinking it's because of the worship. I'm thinking it's because of the atmosphere in here. The demons say, we can't come close to that place. They got that place fenced off. It says no trespassing. There's some worshipers there. There's some people who are offering up incense daily. They're offering up prayers. Now let me explain. The angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given to him much. Let's say it all together. Much. Much incense. That means you need to do some praying. You want to change your atmosphere? You want your prayers to go through? He's come with a big censer. He's looking for your atmospheric change. Verse 4 says, and the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Noah, in Genesis 6, when he came out of the ark, first thing he did, he built an atmospheric change machine, otherwise known as an altar. And he offered a sacrifice. And the Bible says that God smelt the change in atmosphere. And God changed the curse. He said, I will no longer curse because of the sweet savor. And I'm going to give a covenant. I'm going to put a rainbow. I'm going to make a covenant with this man and his descendants because he has changed the atmosphere. I'm done. We need to give an atmospheric change today. This altar is open. If you want to come and start lighting your candle of incense of prayer, if you want to start making the surrounding of you change so that when you pray, it goes through, that the devils have to flee, they have to get out of your way, they have to bow down before you because he said, we shall tread upon scorpions and all of the enemy. That's what God has given us. We have the power, but we've been asking God to get the water out of the boat instead of the storm that caused it. God wants to do some amazing things in Rehoboth. He told me that. I was trying not to smile when I was sitting there because of the things God was telling me. This is message one, change the atmosphere. I got some more. Change the atmosphere. I've been praying to the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to be a good pastor. I prayed for some things, and I believe he's given them to me. Amen. I believe he's done it. I'm going to call it done. I'm asking you today when you pray, pray with intention that, Lord, I want you not to change the water in my boat, but change the wind around me that's filling my boat. So that when the next time I pray, things happen. Prayer is answered. God makes a covenant with you. He's going to set a rainbow in your sky saying, listen, I'm making a covenant with that young man. I'm making a covenant with that young lady because the incense, the atmosphere has changed around them. I got to respond to this. I see someone who really wants my will in their life. I see someone who wants my grace to be manifested in their walk. We need to change the atmosphere. And when we do that, miracles are going to happen. The storm is going to become a calm because Satan will know his game is up because he's been fooling us by throwing water in the boat. And our attention's been on the water and not on the wind. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and our hearts today. Father, we just thank you for your atmospheric change in Rehoboth this year. Lord, that you are going to do miracles, that we are not going to stand in just our words, but in the demonstration hallelujah, of your power. Father, right now, Lord God, I declare blessing. I declare healing. I declare deliverance.